Good day, everyone, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm glad you've decided to join us. Over the last decade, we've had really far-reaching and different kinds of conversations about mental health in this country, and especially here in Michigan. We now talk about it in the context of our schools and our kids. We talk about it as it relates to things like gun violence, and we explore the issue around the ideas of loneliness and isolation that many Americans feel that can grow into the area of mental illness. Well, mental health came up again when it was recently announced that the state of Michigan is going to construct a new $325 million psychiatric hospital in Northville on the grounds of an older psychiatric facility that it is meant to replace. A little later in the program, we're going to explore a different political era, that of the Civil War up until World War I, with Detroit native and Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Tyemba Jess. He explores different times in American history when the term mental health didn't carry the kind of weight it does today. He's also going to be at the Midwest Literary Walk in Chelsea this weekend. I'm really excited to have a conversation with him. He is one of my favorite poets. But right now, we want to explore this new psychiatric facility. Why is the state building it now? What other mental health related policies are getting priority here in Michigan? And how are our politics around mental health actually changing, and maybe changing for the better? To talk about all this, we've got Detroit news reporter Beth LeBlanc with us. She has been covering the creation of this new facility. Beth, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's talk about why the state is constructing this psychiatric facility now and how significant it is that the state is actually building a new psychiatric hospital.
Yeah, so this is definitely a big deal. The state, from all indications, is really in need of new structures. The ones that this will be replacing in Northville is the Hawthorne Center, which is an adolescent psychiatric facility, which opened in 1956, and the Walter P. Reuther Psychiatric Hospital, which opened in 1979 in Westland. So this new facility on Haggerty Road in Northville, it will replace both of those. And this is significant because the state only has five inpatient hospitals at this point for psychiatric needs. So these are going to become a significant facility in Southeast Michigan for psychiatric health.
Yeah. What are the aims of this particular hospital? What gaps, I guess, is it filling in the mental health system? And I ask that in the context, of course, of the dramatic dismantling of much of our public mental health system back in the 1990s, and the discussions that have kind of cropped up since then about what alternatives might look like and whether the state should be more involved in mental health than former Governor John Engler believed that it should. How does this hospital fit into that picture?
You know, I think this construction in particular kind of keeps the status quo at this point. That's not to say there aren't plans in the future to expand further, but this was an immediate infrastructure need from what we can tell. And these buildings that this is replacing just couldn't be upkept anymore with the infrastructure that they had. But it's worth noting that this facility that they're building, it will house 260 people. Whereas the old facility was 200. So it's a marginal increase in terms of capacity. You know, overall, the state between those five facilities, they only have about 650 patients. But I think, you know, there's always that conversation after some of the structure was dismantled under Engler about whether that's enough room, what other kind of services the state should be providing, either inpatient or outpatient. And that's an ongoing conversation in the legislature.
Yeah. I wonder if you can talk a little more about the hospital itself. It's going to be run by the state. Is that right? And the people who will be treated there, is it inpatient? Is it a combination of inpatient and outpatient? What's this all look like?
So this is inpatient, and like I said, it's replacing both a youth psychiatric facility and an adult psychiatric facility, both state-run. And this would kind of combine them into one location in Northville, but it would keep the youth and adults in two separate facilities, and they would just share like administration and food services at the end of the day. So these will be state-run. They're, like I said, part of a five-facility state-run system that's available right now. And it will be just inpatient. I think there's a broader conversation about what other, you know, services can be offered outpatient. And also there's the consideration of what's going to happen during construction. I mean, so right now there are obviously people at the Hawthorne Center during construction, which is expected to start in the fall. They'll be moving those individuals over to Walter P. Reuther in Westland until this is completed in 2026. So right now the state is going to definitely be juggling its space in terms of inpatient options for folks.
Yeah. I'm talking with Beth LeBlanc. She's a reporter for the Detroit News. We're talking about a story she wrote recently about the construction of a new $325 million psychiatric hospital in Northville on the grounds of the Hawthorne mental health facility that is old and needs to be replaced. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call. What do you make of the state investing this way in a new psychiatric hospital in Northville? Do you think Michiganders need more institutions like this? Do you think this is a good way to get a discussion started about further kinds of investments that the state might make into mental health? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation. How else, Beth, do we see the state in investing in mental health infrastructure in this way? Is this the only example? Maybe is the state thinking about other psychiatric hospitals that it might construct or invest in?
Well, it's definitely the case that there is a repeated plea for either more inpatient facilities or more outpatient. You know, I know over the years, the legislature and committee hearings and in testimony in those committee hearings, they've heard from parents who said their child's waited at the hospital for days trying to get placement in a facility or trying to get the care that they need at that time. In the wake of the Oxford shooting in November 2021, there was a lot of targeted attention on especially mental health in schools, but the mental health system in general and how the state could better serve those mental health needs, especially in the wake of the pandemic as well. That came up again and again. And in these gun debates that are currently going on, you know, there have been folks opposed to the gun laws that are being implemented saying, no, what we really need is more mental health help. And I think with the current makeup of the Democratic legislature, there's a sort of both and type philosophy where, you know, we can do both. We can put these laws in place and we can also address mental health. If they want to do that, I think now is the time. You know, they're working on the state budget. They're going to be, you know, making a plan as to how the state's billions of dollars are spent and how they prioritize mental health. And so that remains to be seen to see how they invest in it. I know after the Oxford shooting, there was a lot of money invested in supplemental budgets in school psychiatrists and in school mental health resources. So that was definitely a flush of cash that went towards that in 2021, 2022. But I think people are eager to see what kind of long-term resources are available as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I also want to talk about something else that was in the news, mental health related. Michigan Supreme Court Justice Richard Bernstein is not going to be attending oral arguments next week because he's seeking some short-term mental health treatment out of the state. How do you see the nature of mental health and mental health in our politics changing? It's one of the things that we have, again, been talking about, having a high-profile elected official very publicly say, look, I need some time, I need some space and help, I'm going to go get it. Does that maybe shine a different a light, a brighter light on the need for these kinds of services in Michigan.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people responded to which, first off, I mean, Justice Bernstein's announcement earlier this week that he would be seeking mental health treatment, it is a bit unusual because usually justices, you know, they aren't very public with a lot of their either their personal opinions or their personal struggles or what have you. So for that to be announced via a press release from the Michigan Supreme Court, it was definitely unique in terms of what we hear from the court. I think it was greeted with a lot of gratitude, I think, from people on Twitter who said, you know, that it was a boon to people who struggle with mental health issues to see that they could acknowledge it and get treatment for it, even when you're on the highest court in the state. So that was some of the response we heard from that in particular. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it should be interesting that just recently the Supreme Court, you know, heard a case where they were talking about getting more mental health treatment and options for youth. So it's definitely a top of mind issue. And it's one that they appear to be addressing both professionally and personally in this case.
Yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag us, and we can include you in the conversation. Sarah in Grosse Pointe, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you so much, Stephen. I really appreciate you taking my call. I am actually an outpatient mental health provider, and one of the ways the state has not been doing a good job of investing is making mental health care at the routine level accessible to people on Medicaid.
Wow. Sarah, give us a little more information about that. What does that look like, I guess, from your perspective?
Well, so for example, if you have a My Health Plan card, just, you know, what we would call straight up Medicaid, you can't just go to any mental health care provider. You have to go to a CMH organization. Those tend to be harder to access, very, very, very understaffed. And they tend to have a really high turnover rate of, you know, inexperienced providers. So you don't get good quality care. If you have a Medicaid HMO plan, those are harder and harder to find care for as well, because as somebody who takes them, they keep dropping their reimbursement rates. And I mean, there was recently a scandal where Meridian stopped paying their rates abruptly, dropped them down like $40 for no real reason. Below our break-even point as mental health care providers, we had to stop taking it because we were losing, you know, basically losing money just to see.
Trying to treat people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah, I'm really glad you called and offered that perspective. That firsthand experience, I think, is really vivid and a vital part of the discussion. Beth LeBlanc, again, there are these gaps in mental health, and I know that your story and your reporting is about this hospital, but it does fit into this larger picture of these questions that people have about the state's commitment to this kind of care.
Yeah, and I think that case in particular, I mean, it speaks to kind of the complex nature of this. You know, we can talk about how much money is put into this, whether there's more money needed, whether there's what they can do with the upcoming budget. But there are also questions about, you know, how do insurance providers reimburse these services? How do we change that? How do we cover those gaps with Medicare or Medicaid? How do you get enough providers in the state? How do you make sure the community mental health organizations around the state have enough providers to serve everyone? So I think there are a lot of questions that need to be answered on this and a lot of different avenues to address it. And it is a complex issue. And I don't know that I've seen kind of the broad approach yet that would address all of those different avenues that are in need at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Again, Sarah, really appreciate the call and the information you're able to share with our listeners. Let's go next to Robin in Ann Arbor. Robin, welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the point that when we talk about mental health, we often differentiate it from physical health. And I see mental health as health. And in that note, in that vein, when someone needs to check into an inpatient facility for a mental health problem, it's very difficult to convey that to coworkers or your employer. And it's very different than if, say, for example, you had a physical health crisis. People understand and they support you, but with a mental health crisis, there is that strong stigma of something is wrong with me and I will be judged by my coworkers and my employers. So yeah. That social and cultural aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Robin, no question that that's one of the things that plays into this. And as we were talking about earlier, having someone like Supreme Court Justice Richard Bernstein come out and say, hey, I need help with this, is one of the things that I think pushes this in a different direction and says, if you do need help, it's okay. And raise your hand and go do it. And don't feel ashamed that you need that kind of support. Robin, really appreciate the call and the comments. Let's go next to Dr. Curtis Long, someone who calls us from time to time from the Dickerson Detention Facility here in Detroit. Dr. Long, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Hey. Good morning. Uh-huh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. I'm happy to hear that the state is going to reinvest in mental health. As I was listening to the speaker, you know, it took me on a journey from my training at starting off that Lafayette Clinic, you know, watched that closer. And during the time, actually, I was doing my supervision at Northville, and I was also in the fellowship at Hawthorne Center. So, you know, as I sit here now, I'm about to walk into the detention facility, and as we all know, a lot of individuals, particularly adolescents, find themselves in a juvenile facility or in a jail in terms of mental health. So on one hand, I'm happy to hear that there's reinvestment. And so my bereavement of being there at Lafayette when the state police closed it, I guess I can move towards some resolution now. But on the other hand, a clinician called in and talking about Medicaid and Medicare. And that is a severe issue in terms of wanting to, I'll just put it like this, is very few of my colleagues back from the 80s who are doing private practice. And the primary reason is that you can't stay in business. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, Medicaid doesn't pay enough, your office overhead, et cetera. I try to work that out by having a nonprofit. So I still see individuals, men and women and adults, and my nonprofit to kind of make up from where I'm working elsewhere. So if they can focus on that too, perhaps we wouldn't need as many inpatient mental health beds.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Long, I again, always appreciate that you call and share your perspective because it is so important. And on this issue is really critical, the overlap between the gaps in the mental health system and the criminal justice system are really important and really significant to the conversation. So again, appreciate you calling in. Okay, Beth LeBlanc, great to have you here on Detroit Today. What's the timeline on this new hospital?
So they break ground in the fall, and then they're hoping to have it finished by 2026. So and again, this will house 260 people, up about 60 people from what these facilities currently can house. But, you know, the state was careful to couch those numbers with the idea that they won't go past that $325 million budget. Mm-hmm. And a lot of state agencies are saying that now because of the kind of the unpredictability of inflation at this point. So they're hoping to get it under $325 million. They're hoping to house 260 people, and they're hoping to have this done by 2026. So that's the timeline for completing this. And in the meantime, while they're working on that, they will have to be, you know, kind of juggling and moving folks around to accommodate the construction that's going on at the current site of the Hawthorne Center.
Right. Okay, Beth LeBlanc, great to have you here. Thanks so much for joining us on Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk with Tayemba Jess, a Detroit native Pulitzer Prize winning poet who's going to appear at the Midwest Literary Walk this weekend in Chelsea. Stay with us for more Detroit Today.